This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is good to be together in this hour of worship, and it's my joy to welcome you. If you're here in the sanctuary or if you're joining us online, we know that the Spirit of Christ unites us as we worship together. And I'd love for each of you to take a moment to register your attendance, if you would. If you're worshiping online, there should be a link on the screen that you can place in your browser. And if you're here in the sanctuary, we have registration pads that are in the center aisle, and if you'll pass those down and back again, and take a few moments to notice the names of the friends sitting on the pew with you, and if there's a name you don't recognize, there's a new friend you can make today. We're especially glad to welcome Belmont Trumpets this morning. They're playing from the balcony. Good morning. We're so glad to have you. You've already blessed us, and we look forward to hearing your beautiful sounds as we sing our hymns and as we worship this morning. I just have a few other announcements as we gather today. Of course, this afternoon, as usual, on our third Sunday of the month, we have our service of Teze worship. That will be at 5 o'clock. And I believe that will be a labyrinth. Is it up in the fourth story? It'll be up in the fourth story theater today as you will be walking the labyrinth together. Wednesday night, we have a special event. It's called Supper and Storytelling. It's part of our 150th year, and we'll have regular Wednesday night supper, and we do need your RSVP if you're planning to come to that, and that information's in your bulletin. And then at 6 o'clock, we'll go upstairs to the four-story theater and hear stories told from West End folks, young and old, all different experiences of the congregation to celebrate how God has been working in our midst in the past, present, and future. On Thursday at noon, we'll have another one of our Lenten concerts, and Dr. Matt Phelps will be leading us at the piano for that concert. And then on Sunday, the 26th, at 4:30, our choir will lead us in a choral concert to take us one step further on our journey of Lent. Saturday, April 1st, mark your calendars, Easter egg hunt, if you have little ones, at 9:45, and we'll start off in McWhorter Hall for that event. And finally, I just wanted to take an extra moment to encourage us all and remind us, especially if you are a church member, to wear your name tag. We want to kind of get back in the habit of name tags. That's a great sign of hospitality for folks who might be worshiping with us for the first time or visiting. We have a new pastor coming on staff in a couple of weeks, and he will want to learn your names, and many of us are over 50 and still need reminders. So if you don't know where your name tag is, you might check the magnetic board between Reed Hall and the women's restroom. It could be on that board, or you can always request a new one from Cindy Seamer, and I think her information is in the bulletin. We are continuing our journey through John's gospel, and we encounter Jesus this morning as he heals a man who was born blind. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to hear this story and to worship the one who sees us and heals us.
Thank you. pilgrims on the way to the cross.
We are learning to follow Jesus.
On this Lenten journey, where do we find God's presence among us? Come, let us worship God.
We come to worship the God of love and salvation.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of the children of God. O God of miracles and mighty deeds, we acknowledge your healing and comforting presence in our lives. We confess that we are drawn towards certainty rather than faith. Open our hearts to a new way of being. Send your anointing and grant us fresh insight for spiritual breakthroughs. Shine the light of your truth into our relationships and grant us victory over every secret and shame. We thank you for the many ways you heal and renew our lives. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Holy God, as we turn to the scriptures, open our hearts and minds that we may encounter you in the person of Jesus Christ. Be with us as the word is read and proclaimed, that we may know you more fully and follow you more faithfully. Amen. Today's lesson is from the Gospel of John, chapter 9, 1 through 17, and 35 through 38. As he walked along, he saw a man, blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pond of Siloam," which meant sent. Then he went and washed and came back and able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it's someone like him." He kept saying, "I'm the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Well, where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought the Pharisees to the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees began to ask him how he had received the sight. He said to them, "Well, he put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your sight he opened." He said, "Well, he's a prophet." Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
invite all the grown-ups to be seated, and if there are any children here who'd like to join me for a moment, come on down. And if you're worshiping online, just get a little closer to your screens. Come on down. I'm so glad to see you all. As you come down, notice the flowers. Aren't they pretty? I told someone earlier today they look like spring is on the way, like spring coming toward us, even though it's really cold today, wearing your warm jackets. Spring is coming. Come on up. I'm so glad to see you. Well, Miss Anita just read a story to us about Jesus. And he was walking along the road one day with his disciples, and they were walking through a town, and there were people everywhere and things happening all around them. But all of a sudden, Jesus, with his eyes, noticed way over there, there was a man who was by himself. The story says that he was a beggar, which means he had to ask people for help and food and money for most of the day. The story also tells us he was blind. He was born blind. He'd never been able to see before. And there were a lot of people who just walked by him every day and never really noticed him. But Jesus saw him and noticed him. And he went over and he healed the man. And for the first time in his life, the man was able to see. And by the end of the story, he becomes a follower of Jesus too. And I think about that story, it reminds me that Jesus has a special way of noticing people. That Jesus loves everybody and sees everybody, and every person is important in Jesus' eyes. And he also has this way of catching the people or noticing the people who are kind of on the outside, who might feel left out and lonely. And so, since we're following Jesus and we want to try to be more like Jesus, I think that invites us to do what we can to notice people, especially people who might be shy or might be struggling or what other people don't see. So maybe next time if you're on the playground or something and you see someone over by themselves and they look kind of lonely, maybe you could go up to them and say hi and tell them your name and say, do you want to play with me? And then you can make a new friend and they won't feel so alone. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you so much that you see everybody and you love everybody. We pray for people who feel lonely, who feel like other people don't see them or care about them. Help us to be kind and to go and reach out to people, to make new friends. And help us remember that in those times that we might feel lonely or left out, that you're with us always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for listening. 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go with Pastor Maggie to Children's Church. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with parents or friends. Many of you know that on Tuesday mornings, we have a Bible study at 7:30 a.m. Since COVID, it's been a hybrid Bible study. We have a good number of people who come to room 310 and gather in person. Someone always brings donuts, so that's a good incentive. But we have about as many people who join us over Zoom. And just this past Tuesday, we had someone who was Zooming in from South Carolina, someone who was Zooming in from sunny Florida, we were all jealous, and someone who was Zooming in from Virginia. Sometimes we have two people who tune in from Virginia. And one of those people is David St. Clair. Some of you may remember David St. Clair. His father, Ben St. Clair, was the pastor of West End from 1967 to 1980. Before he came to West End, he was a district superintendent. And in Bible study on Tuesday, David shared with us a story that he remembers from those days when his dad was a district superintendent. Back in those days, congregations didn't just have one annual charge conference like we have today. They had four quarterly charge conferences, and the district superintendent was expected to preside at all of those. So he spent a lot of his time traveling to different churches, and apparently he brought his kids with him a lot. So after I heard that, I thought about calling my kids and saying, I know it's hard to be a preacher's kid, but you have no idea. It could have been worse. But anyway, just kidding. Sorry, David. I know it was a wonderful life. Actually, David grew up to become a pastor, so there you go. But he told us the story of one of these churches where they went, and the congregation before the meeting did a drama, a play about this ninth chapter of John. And it actually reads a little bit like a play of six scenes. And he said what he noticed, even as a child, as the congregation acted this play out, was that Jesus wasn't in it very much. He's in the first scene, and then throughout most of the rest of the chapter, he's out of the room, and he comes back in at the end. Now, in the interest of time, we have trimmed down the ninth chapter of John so that Anita wouldn't be up there reading for all that long, but we have heard the scenes where Jesus appears. What I'd like to do this morning, real quickly, is to walk us through the six scenes and to see how it makes a difference when Jesus isn't in the room. The first scene starts off with Jesus and his disciples walking down a road. On the side of the road, he notices a man. We find out from the story that the man was blind from birth and that he is begging for help on the side of the road. Now Jesus looks at the man and sees a human being created in the image of God. Jesus' heart is moved with compassion for this man, and he is preparing to heal him. Before he does that, however, the disciples ask a question, because they look at the man and they see a theological conundrum, an opportunity for discussion and debate. They ask Jesus, why is this man blind? Why was he born blind? Did he sin or did his parents sin? And Jesus, of course, being Jesus, doesn't answer A or B. He answers C, none of the above. He says, this man was born blind. Nobody sinned to cause it. It's not a punishment for sin. And here's where the English translation really doesn't help us, because in the English translation it says, he was born blind so that the work of God could be revealed. But in the Greek, it just says he was born blind. God's works can be revealed. It's not as if God caused the man to be blind so that God could then show off God's healing power. The man was born blind. It just happened. It's the way it is in our world sometimes. Nevertheless, God can work in this situation. Just watch, Jesus seems to say. And so Jesus goes to the man. I imagine he kneels down before him. He takes some of his own saliva and turns the dirt into mud. And with gentleness and love, he places the mud on the man's eyes and then says, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So the man makes his way there. He takes the cool waters of the pool and rinses the mud off of his eyes. And here's where I want you to put yourself in the place of this man. For the very first time in his life, he opens his eyes and sees the color blue. He sees the sky. He sees the white and gray clouds passing over. He looks at the sunlight shimmering on the surface of the pool. He looks around him and sees the faces of people. He's never known what a face looks like. He looks down and sees himself for the very first time. Can you imagine the joy and the gratitude that must be bursting from his soul? End of scene one. Scene two. I don't know how he gets there. My guess is he runs as fast as he can back home. He goes back into the neighborhood, and there are his neighbors all around him, and I can imagine he is ready to tell them what has happened and to say, look, I can see. But his neighbors do not rejoice with him. all they are is confused and curious, and they say to each other, they talk to each other, they don't talk to him, they talk about him with each other, and they say, wasn't this the guy who used to beg on the side of the road and was blind? No, it's not him, it can't be him. Oh yeah, I think it's him. No, it's not him. And the man's like, yes, it's me, I am the man. They look at him and see the person he used to be, not who he now is. But they're curious and they ask him what happened. And so he tells them, a man named Jesus put mud on my eyes and I went to the pool and washed and now I can see. And they're just curious enough to ask, well, where is this guy who healed you? I don't know. He's left the room. End of scene two. Scene three. The neighbors don't seem to know what to think about all this that has happened, and so they bring the healed man in front of the Pharisees, their teachers, their religious authorities, the people that they look to explain things to them and help them understand how God is at work. And so they say, this man says he was blind and now he can see. What do you think? And the Pharisees, first thing they think is, wait, it's a Sabbath day. If this person healed you on the Sabbath day, he cannot be from God. Well, excuse me, they don't talk to him either. They talk to each other. They say, if this man was healed on the Sabbath day, then the healer can't be from God. But there are others who say, wait, there's no way that someone could perform a miracle like this and not be from God. And the story says they were divided. So to the Pharisees, this man created in the image of God who has just experienced the power and healing of God in Jesus Christ is an issue being debated, an issue that divides the religious community. End of scene. The next scene opens. The Pharisees are still not quite sure to believe the man's story, and so they bring before them the man's parents. And they say, is this your son? Was he born blind? And the parents are able to say, yes, we know that this is our son, and we know that he was born blind, but how he came to see, we don't know. In fact, he is of age. Ask him. We don't want anything to do with it. His parents are afraid, you see, because they know that there's already talk of expelling anyone from the synagogue who wants to follow this Jesus person. They're afraid that if they stand by their child, they will be rejected by their faith community. If they believe his story, they'll be cast out. End of scene. The next scene opens. The Pharisees bring back the man who was healed. They want to hear from him again, but again, they're really not interested in hearing from him or learning more about him or celebrating with him. They want to get to the bottom of this Jesus thing. And some of them have come to the conclusion, the man who healed you was a sinner. Tell us again how he did it. And this, the man starts to get a little cheeky here. He says, I've already told you, put mud on my eyes, I washed, I can see now. Why are you so curious? Do you want to become his disciples too? Oh, well, they don't like that at all. They get all affronted and they start getting more aggressive. And finally he says to them, look, nowhere ever in the history of all the world has someone born blind been given sight. And if you can't see it for what it is, and they get so angry that they cast him out, they excommunicate him, gone from the synagogue. So in all of these scenes, we have seen the disciples who don't see the man. They see a theological conundrum. The neighbors who don't see the man who, as who he is, they see who he was. The Pharisees who see an issue that divides them, the parents who see a threat to their well-being and to the life that they've known. No one, there is no one along the way who rejoices with this man. He's ready to glorify God and celebrate and tell his story of transformation, and no one cares. It's tragic. And then in the end, we find him cast out from the community. All the people he had known, neighbors, parents, religious leaders, all of them have rejected him. Until Jesus shows up again. All of this rejection has happened when Jesus was not in the room. But at the end of the story, it says, when Jesus heard that this man had been cast out, he went and found him. He went looking for him. And we have to remember, the man had not seen Jesus' face. Jesus sent him to wash at the pool before he could see and was gone by the time the man's eyes were opened. So he doesn't quite yet know who he's talking to, but Jesus tells him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man? I am he." And the man says, "Yes, Lord, I believe." And now he is included in a new kind of relationship, a new kind of community, joining all of these other folks along the way who have been seen and heard and sought out and captured and collected by Jesus. And I believe he becomes part of that team that continues to see and reach out all on the margins to welcome and see people who have been invisible to others. I imagine you can find yourself in this story somewhere. I know some of you have experienced what it's like to be talked about and not talked to have who you are and your life be discussed like an issue that divides people instead of having people come alongside you and celebrate. Many of you know what it's like to feel invisible and watch people pass on by, never knowing who you really are, or trying to put you in a box of who you used to be. I also see in this story an invitation for all of us, wherever we are in the story, as those who want to follow Jesus. I want to be where Jesus is. I don't want to be in a room where Jesus is not, because we see what happens when Jesus isn't in the room. I want to have the eyes of Jesus to see people as human beings, beautiful and beloved. I want to be part of that work that Jesus is doing to give sight to the blind and love to the lonely and belonging to the lost. I want to be part of that community that helps people see the love and grace that is extended to all. It was a waking up moment for David St. Clair when he saw what happened when Jesus wasn't in the room. Let us be the kind of church, the kind of people where Jesus is always in the room.
Having heard the word read and proclaimed, let us stand and join together in affirming our faith using the statement of faith of the United Church of Canada found on page 883 and on the screen in front of you. Let us join. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who was and is creating, who is come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. My joy to announce the birth of two children in our congregation. One of the roses on the table today is celebrating the birth of Walker Harris Dale, who was born on March 1st to Caroline and Aaron Dale. And he is welcomed by siblings Hawkins and Abby Claire Dale. The other rose on the altar is celebrating the birth of Carter Ruth Donald on March the 11th to Rebecca and Chris Donald. And she is also welcomed by a sister, Wesley Grace Donald. And there's been a death in our congregation, a memorial service for Liz Goebel, who passed away on March 7th, will be held on Monday, March 20th, at 10 a.m. at the Harpeth Hills Funeral Home. And as we come to our prayer time today, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers, and if you would like to share them with the pastoral staff to pray for them throughout this week, please follow the link under the contact us on the WARE website, or if you are here in the sanctuary, there are gray cards that you will find on the pew in front of you that you can place in the offering plate as it is passed later in the service. The Lord be with you. Lift up, let us pray. God of love and compassion, we give you thanks once again for your Son, Jesus, whose life, ministry, death, and resurrection revealed your abiding, grace-filled love. He has opened our eyes to the ways in which your love can shape our thoughts, our actions, our words, and our relationships with you and with one another. You've made known through him that love is a matter of our openness to you, our engagement, the engagement of our minds, and the stirrings of our hearts, and also the focus of our wills. It is your love, O God, that opens our eyes to see people and the world around us through the lens of your love, your mercy, and the goodness you seek in this your world. It alerts us to the many needs that impact those we know, those we relate to in our daily living, the communities in which we live, and the national and world connections, and the turmoil that we see around us. We lift to you today, particularly the need for your abiding, consoling presence with persons who are coping with the loss of a loved one or of a broken relationship or are sorting through difficult life decisions. May your love sustain and bring healing to the many who are ill in body, mind, or spirit. Provide guidance and a spirit of love for those who provide the care and the presence that foster healing. Be present with those who provide leadership in the decision-making of the governments locally, within the state and nation, as well as in the world. Open their eyes to the ways that allow your reconciling love to condition their decisions and their relationships with one another. God, help us all to see you more clearly, to follow you more nearly, and to love you more dearly as we follow the one who you sent to be among us, showing us the way of faithfulness to you. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now we have a ministry moment, and Bobby Lee Smith will be speaking to us.
Morning, West End. My name is Bobby Lee Smith, and I am the executive director for the Restoration Point, which is a nonprofit organization that was started at McKendree United Methodist Church in 2009. And under the Restoration Point, there's three ministries. One is the 5 and 2 meal, in which we offer a lunch or a meal every Tuesday at 11:30 there in the fellowship hall at McKendree. We also have the clothes closet, in which we distribute donated clothes to our unhoused neighbors that's in the downtown area there in Nashville every Thursday at 10 o'clock. And then very similar to what you do with the Room in the Inn, McKendree was doing Room in the Inn back several years ago. And the question was asked, from December to March, when Room in the Inn is in full force, what happens after March? And so McKendree took the next step in converting part of the church sub-basement into a temporary shelter where we house 8 guys from off the street. We bring them into that environment, provide support service for them to help them get back on their feet and into affordable housing. And just recently, beginning January of this year, we partnered with Community Care Fellowship, in which they received some of the funding from the city, this $50 million that they talked about, to open up what they call mobile housing navigation center. And so in that partnership, we converted our temporary shelter into one of those navigation centers. And now those individuals that come into that space is there for 90 days and then into permanent housing. And so I'm here today to invite West End to be part of the ministry that what we're doing there under the Restoration Point. I know we do have Stacy, who I've known, and my wife have known for several years and been involved with it, and then with Anita, I caught her by surprise. I met her on the trip when we went down to Birmingham and Montgomery to see the museums and stuff that was there. But I will be in the hall next door after service to talk a little bit in more detail about what we do. From my understanding, the offering today will go to help support this, but you can also help us directly on our website, which is restorationpointnashville.org. You can go in and make a donation directly. And again, I thank you for the opportunity to be here and share this ministry moment with you, and may God be with you. Thank you.
No more. Please, Reed Hall is out this door right over here, and you can talk to Bobby over there later after the service. Now we come to that time when we offer our gifts, our tithes and offerings to God in gratitude and thanksgiving. And as we give, let us keep in mind that we are giving out of what God has shared with us, so that we can continue the ministries God has called this community of faith to at this time and in this place. And those of you who are joining us online are invited to give through the options that are on the screen. And while you're here in the congregation, the offering plates will be passed among you. May we give with the joy that God, who has given so generously to each of us, in Christ's name, let us give.
Thank you.
generations who have gone before us have sung of God's amazing grace. We have known God's amazing grace offered to us. May we go from this place, following Jesus to the edges, to the margins, to proclaim God's amazing grace to all. Amen.